Welcome to the CodeCast Podcast. Real-world insights for your daily medical coding and billing processes. And now, here's your host, Terry Fletcher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CodeCast Podcast today. My name is Terry Fletcher. Welcome to the last day of January, and this means we are doing Top 10 Tuesday. And I thought I'd focus on telehealth. Once again, I know I haven't done it for about a month, but I wanted to do the top 10 questions I get and compliance questions I get for telehealth because I think it's important that we're all on the same page. We all understand what the payers are telling us, especially Medicare. And I'm seeing a lot of non-compliance with telehealth in my audits. So we just want to make sure everybody's doing what's right. Also, at the end of February, the 24th and 5th, I mentioned it last week, I'll be presenting along with several other great presenters, including Christine Hall and Sonal Patel and Eric Rubenstein, who is a retired OIG investigator, and then also Sean Weiss of Doctors Management, Amanda Weiss, and Brianna Santoli, who are healthcare attorneys. And we're all going to be talking telehealth. So take a look at NSCHBC's website at nschbc.org and find the telehealth summit, and hopefully you'll join us. So it's 2 days. It will be from 8 to 11 Pacific Standard Time. I always have to do that since we always schedule at Eastern Time. So 11 to 2 Eastern Standard Time for 2 days, Thursday and Friday, and it's going to be packed full of information. Plus, we'll have live Q&A at the end of each day. So I wanted to get a head start on that in today's CodeCast podcast and just make sure that you're updated on what's happening, since we've had a lot of new things happen, a lot of additions, and a lot of us don't even know where to go for it. So we want to make sure that you have all of that information. Okay, so let's get started. So question number one is about the 93 modifier that we got for 2022. And here's what has been coming out there. So a lot of people are saying, you know, I saw the 93 modifier, and this says synchronous telemedicine service rendered via telephone or other real-time interactive audio only telecommunication. And so should we be using that? And that is in the CPT book. So let's start with Medicare. I've not seen any CMS guidance about the using 93 for office visit codes done via audio only without the real-time audio and visual equipment. Also, remember, we're still under the PHE, which is the public health emergency, which has been extended through April 18th of 2022, another 90 days. So, you know, CMS may give us some information soon. I would say let's, you know, kind of wait and see what they say. You might want to check in with your MAC carrier and see if they want 93 on services that can only be performed audio only. But they were kind of specific in saying that, you know, some other payers may need that, but we don't. Now, question two is, what about the FQ modifier? Okay, that did take effect, and that was effective as of 1/1/2022, and that modifier is for behavioral health services performed via telehealth, and again, audio only. So that did take effect, and we want to make sure that we are not confusing the 93 with the FQ, because remember, in the final rule, Medicare said that they are going to allow for behavioral and mental health permanently under telehealth services once the PHE ends. So they just basically got a head start, and FQ is a HCPCS modifier, so that's specific to Medicare. So just make sure, you know, the first two questions relate on modifiers, and we always want to make sure that we're correct on those because modifiers affect payment, okay? Our third question comes from Place of Service regarding telehealth. So in 2022, we got two new Place of Service codes. We got 02, which actually was revised. Now this says telehealth provided in other than the patient's home, so the location where health services and health-related services are provided and received through telecommunication technology. Patient is not located in their home when receiving the telehealth services. And then 10 now is the code for telehealth provided in the patient's home. Now remember when I say this, that Medicare says we are not interested in this right now. This is just if the direct contract administrative, Medicare administrative contractor wants you to do that. But for right now, they're saying that this does not apply to us during the public health emergency. So will they change that at some point? They may, because it was also something that they put out on their CMS.gov. But one of the things they did say is that right now we don't need the differentiation. We're fine with the modifier 95, which is my question number five, that during the public health emergency, the 95 modifier is so that you don't get paid based on facility rates and that Medicare can track all of the telehealth that's being pushed out, again, under the public health emergency. I'm sorry if you're tired of hearing about that, but there are different rules during the pandemic than there are going to be once the PHE ends, which I am told is coming this year. So we, you know, at some point you just have to keep living with the different variants, just like we have with the flu. And so they won't be continuing to renew that. But when that happens, we don't know, but I'm told it is going to come this year. So we want to make sure that now with the place of service codes that we continue under the PHE instructed by Medicare, the CARES Act, and what it says on the FAQ sheets. But we just want to make sure that the new information we're aware of, but Medicare has not given us specific direction to use those different places of service yet. If you do on your own, you're running the risk of getting only a facility reimbursement, which is about 20% less than what you'd get if you use the place of service that we're the patient would have been if they come in person, which if it's office, it's 11. If it's hospital, inpatient be 21, outpatient 22, etc. So just know those places of service exist for the future, but and maybe for one of your commercial plans. But for right now, it does not exist for Medicare during the PHE. Okay, so before we get into question six, let me just thank my sponsor, Gold Bond Ultimate Skin Therapy Lotion, healing aloe for skin that's nourished, healed, and healthy looking. Gold Bond Ultimate. Okay, so let's get into question six. And this one I'm going to take off the FAQ updated sheet that we have from Medicare. It's a CMS, it's called FFS Inclusive FAQ sheet, because I'm seeing that people have forgotten some of these things and we have to make sure that we're clear. And again, hopefully you'll attend the telehealth summit, which is going to have seven sessions of really important information with regard to telehealth next month. But just to give you kind of a taste of that, let's take a look at this. So a question came up that, How do I bill for services that are audio only because the patient refused an audio and video visit and they last longer than 30 minutes? Well, Medicare is trying to discourage that. So that's why the G code they have, the G2252 is only 11 to 20 minutes. But they said, and this is question 32 on the updated sheet on page 85, where it says, during the PHE for the COVID-19 pandemic, Medicare has added to the list of telehealth services the codes 99441 to 443, audio-only visits, and then they also talk about the independent practitioners qualified that can also bill the 98966 and 98968. Remember, those are therapists, social workers, clinical psychologists. They're not your RNs, or your medical assistants or anything like that. But these are audio only, and the highest code, 99443 or 98968, only goes up to 30 minutes respectively. And they say, there are no CPT codes available to describe medical discussions lasting longer than 30 minutes. And that was actually first published on May 27th, 2020. And the reason I bring that up is I've had several clients, several other providers that have tried to add prolonged services to the office visit, or I'm sorry, to the audio only codes, and that's incorrect. Remember, prolonged service only goes on a level 5 office visit if you've met the maximum criteria for commercial plans and the actual beginning range for Medicare, even though I recommend you always use the maximum. So here's another question that comes up, and everybody only reads the beginning. They never read the end, and it's almost like clickbait. And so this is question 7. Is a beneficiary's consent? Boy, I'm tongue-tied today. Is a beneficiary's consent required for virtual check-ins, e-visits, audio-video telehealth visits, or telephone visits only? Do you need consents? Now you need to listen to CMS's answer or you'll get it wrong, because I keep getting everybody saying, we don't have to put it anywhere in the record. We don't have to get consents. I'm like, no, that's not true. It says beneficiary consent to receive virtual check-ins and e-visits is required. though it may be obtained once annually. Okay, so you have to get them every year. Well, we're in year three. Are you getting your new consents? It says, and, not or, during the PHE for COVID-19 pandemic, consent may be obtained at the same time the service is furnished. So that should be part of your protocol when the patient calls in, or when you're basically connecting the telehealth visit. Now, here's where everybody kind of doesn't interpret this correctly. It says, similar to services furnished in person, the patient's consent is not required to be noted on the medical record for telehealth services furnished using interactive audio and video technology. The audio-only phone visits also do not require the consent to be noted in the medical record. Well, where are you going to note them then? So you have to have some kind of either a chart, a list, a sign-in, something that says the patient has given consent and confirmation of that. Well, my recommendation is to put it in the medical record so you don't have to go looking for it if somebody would audit you. But this is where people say, oh, we don't have to have it. Yes, you have to have it every year. They're just saying that it doesn't have to be on every single record, but it should be in the patient's chart somewhere. So make sure basically that you have evidence of where that consent is. Okay, so now let's look at eight. So let's look at eight, and this is really kind of an important one because I'm noticing that a lot of people aren't understanding some of the things when it comes to services that are on the non-covered list, and are they eligible for, you know, payment during PHE? So the question is, are services designated on the telehealth list as non-covered by Medicare eligible for payment during the PHE? They're like, no. Services that are currently on the non-covered remain so, unless there's any kind of subsequent rulemaking that makes them now covered. So there's certain services that were added to the telehealth list for informational purposes only to reflect stakeholder requests. But if it doesn't say that it's covered under there, then make sure that you are not reporting it that way. And that's, you know, really important to understand that. Otherwise, you could be billing incorrectly. So another one that came up basically that talked about the office visit codes. What time should be used? This is number eight. I think you're going to get an extra one today because I'm losing track of my numbers. What time should be used to select the correct level of office outpatient E&M visits when selecting the level based on time? So it's interesting how they say that. They say on an interim basis for the duration of the PHE for the COVID-19 pandemic. They always say it like that to let you know it's temporary. Practitioners should use the typical time as specified in the CPT code descriptor for purposes of level of selecting when based on time. So this was dated back in 2020. They have put out kind of an update to that saying that you're not, because it's not typical time anymore, there's a time range. So continue to if you're going to bill an office visit code, remember not only does it have to look exactly the same as if it was in person minus whatever you can do with the exam, but the time range also has to be specific about that as well. So you just don't want to make it look like, how do I put this? It shouldn't look like a telehealth visit. It should look like a visit. If you're trying to bill it as a visit, then it should look like a visit. And so get as close to that as you can. Otherwise, you could be under scrutiny, not understanding that, you know, this could be in what they call bad faith instead of in good faith. And that's where they're saying that you are, you know, you need to act in good faith when you're providing these services. Otherwise, there could be some issues when it comes to getting those services covered or somebody taking the money back. Okay, so a question that came up regarding the virtual check-ins, and they're talking about the G2012 and the G2010. And somebody asked, can this be billed on the same day by the same practitioner for the same patient? So let me explain what these are first. The G2010, this is actually number nine, is a video only or photograph of a healthcare problem. So let's say the patient's got pink eye or they've got a rash or something going on with their skin that they want to send over to the physician or PA or medical or nurse practitioner. The G2012 is what we call a virtual check-in. So this means that you're trying to decide if the patient should have a visit. Now, if you schedule a visit after you talk to them on the phone, then only the visit's billed. But if you're saying, nope, just keep your scheduled appointment in 3 months, we're good. We called in a prescription for you for a UTI, you know, you're fine. Then, and they documented time, so then you could bill that. So here's the answer from CMS. It says, as long as all the requirements for billing both codes are met and time and effort are not being counted twice, both G0210 and G2012 may be billed by the same practitioner for the same patient on the same date. Now, I've probably audited maybe a dozen of these, and only two have passed. So the video was for a skin irritation, and they just wanted to see if it was something they could just treat with a topical ointment, or if they should come in and have it looked at. Was it more a cancerous situation? And the G2012 was for urinary tract infection. So these were both done as a virtual check-in from an internal medicine practice, and the patient did not come in the office. They had not been seen in the last 7 days for similar services, and they were completely different, and they didn't take the same effort. So just be aware that those codes have specific meanings behind them, and we don't want to overbill or underbill as well. So we just have to make sure that we're careful on that. And then the last one today, this is number 10. Will CMS require specific modifiers, and I've already talked about some modifiers, to be applied to the existing codes during the PHE? So for telehealth services, here's their answer. Furnished during the PHE, CMS is allowing practitioners to use the place of service code that would otherwise reported had the service been furnished in person. And here's the big one. To identify these services as Medicare telehealth, CMS is requiring that modifier 95 be appended to the claim. So we typically do not apply that to phone calls. We don't apply it to office visits unless it has an audio and video. But Medicare is using it as their telehealth modifier during the public health emergency until that's updated. So make sure that you're taking a lot of this under advisement. I think there's going to be a lot of changes coming up once the public health emergency ends. I was recently reading an article that was posted by my good friend, my colleague, Betty Hovey. Thank you for that, regarding some of this information and really looking at the fact that unless the organizations, unless all these people that are proponents of telehealth, and I am too, on a limited basis, put something out there trying to reflect, is this an extension of in-person visits or is it a replacement? Then we're going to have kind of a problem when it comes to reimbursement. Now, commercial plans, they keep posting how their profits are in the billions, but Medicare isn't like that. Medicare is going to go bankrupt in the next 3 years if we leave the flexibilities the way they are. So, you know, and right now the government's playing ping pong with our Medicare program, which really stinks. So just make sure that you're understanding the telehealth. Please consider joining our telehealth summit. And I say that only because a lot of you have forgotten the basics, forgotten the rules, or need to know what's going on from a fraud situation, from a healthcare attorney, from investigators. And then I'm going to also present one of the sessions is going to be about, we call it the website manner. So it's going to be basically how to make sure that your best practices on a telehealth visit from the clinical side. And then I'll be doing the coding and billing part as well. So, you know, hopefully you'll join us. It'll be a great summit and we're looking forward to that. But this should give you a start and hopefully a reminder on what you need to do for your telehealth as it exists right now. And make sure you're also updating with your commercial plans. Some of their waivers have expired. Now, my personal tidbit, I just wanted to put it out there to my good friend, Jennifer McNamara. And she was a friend I met on LinkedIn, a fellow coder and consultant. And I got to meet her this week. So she came out to the Laguna Beach, Laguna area where I am at in California. And we got to have a glass of wine together and have a chat. My poor husband, poor Tom, he was sitting there and he was listening to us talk shop for like an hour and a half. But it was a great visit. And Jennifer's awesome. Don't forget to check out her also her podcast that she has, that's Life of a Coder. Also, there's another podcast called Paint the Medical Picture, and that's from Sunil Patel, and we love that too. Also, don't forget, Sean Weiss has one out there. It's called, he's called The Compliance Guy, and I actually am a guest on his about twice a month on Tuesdays. He calls mine as well, Terry Tuesday, and we talk about all things audit. So if that's your thing, when I talk with Sean, and he has all kinds of guests on his. I'm a solo podcaster on mine, but feel free to check all of those out. So even though that may not be something personal to you guys, it is definitely personal to me, because I just really love meeting people that I finally get to put a face to a name and spend time with people across the country and people you meet on the social media work platform. So again, everyone, make it a great day and a great week. And thank you for listening to the CodeCast podcast.
For more information on medical coding, billing, auditing, and compliance, including how to hire Terry, follow Terry on Twitter at TerryCoder1 or visit her website at www.terryfletcher.net. Podcast producer Joe Kuzma. Music producer Dasassin Music.